Okay, we continue in the Rambam. We're in Per Gimel Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel Halacha Hey, in the middle of Halacha Hey, because we said the middle of Halacha Hey is a little different halacha than what we're dealing with. The general notion of this parak has been there's a concept of Tosefes Shvi'is, that there are things that are prohibited to do even before Shmita actually starts. Although we know clearly that everything is prohibited from the first of Rosh Hashanah, but the halacha l'moshmi Sinai, that work on tree fields is prohibited from Shavuos, and work on grain fields is prohibited from Pesach time. And that is, rabbinically. Let's make that even clearer. Hold it biblically, we said it's 30 days before. 30 days before the holiday. That's the biblical Tosefes. Halacha l'moshmi Sinai, the 30 days, everything's broken. On the land, it's usher. The rabbis came along and added that for the tree fields, it's usher from Shavuos time, and from the regular grain fields, it's usher from Pesach time. And then there was a whole discussion, what constitutes a tree field? How spread apart do the trees have to be in what area for it not to be? All those details we're not going to go over. That was another thing we're talking about, and it's going to be repeated again. So in the middle of Halacha Hey, we're now going to talk about saplings. And that's right in the middle of Halacha Hey, where saplings are very delicate, and therefore we can't deal rabbinically or even biblically on such a strict level, because if we don't work them before Shemitah, they could very well die. And again, we don't try to create all kinds of damages. So we're going to see that there's no Tosefes Shvis on saplings at all, even on a biblical level, and they can be all dealt with right up until Rosh Hashanah. And that's the halacha he's going to say. But again, there's certain qualifications, and that's what the next few halachas are going to deal with. Eser Netios, if there are 10 saplings, Mufuzaras, and they're spread out, and they must be spread out, Latoch base saw in an area that's a base saw that's 50 amos by 50 amos squared. Okay, so that means each tree has 1/10 of that field, as it were. And these are saplings, so they don't really, the roots don't go so deeply, so they don't go far into the field. So therefore, it has to be spread out, so there's an equal usage of the field, as opposed to what we learned earlier about the big trees. It's a little bit different halacha. But if the 10 saplings are spread out in this area, then what you're allowed to do is chorshim. You're allowed to plow. And this is even during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Kol Beisah, the entire field is considered a sapling field. Bishvilam for them ad Rosh Hashanah, until Rosh Hashanah. There's no Tosefes Shvis, even on a biblical level, on these things. And again, he says, V'davar zeh, halacha l'moshe Mishinai. This is also part of the halacha l'moshe Mishinai, that Hashem is saying, even biblically, that I want to take care of these saplings. And again, the reason we said is, since the saplings are very weak and they need plowing, they need a lot of attention to them, and then therefore that's not considered like you're fixing it up for Shvi's per se, but rather you're just making sure they're not going to be destroyed. But older trees that don't need that much care, so if you're going to work on the field before Shvi's, it's like you're preparing it for Shemitah, and that was what the Tosefes was usher for. Now, if it would be less than 10 trees in this field, then it would be a halacha, a different halacha of regular tree field, where you would work until Shavuos, but not after that. So that's if it, so you need to have all these qualifications to relax the entire biblical Tosefes Shvi'is. And if it falls short of that, then it will go back into some of the rabbinic prohibited area. Now, we're going to, next two, three halachas are going to qualify everything that was just said in this line. Halacha Vav. Hayasuyas Shura Achas. If these 10 trees are in one row, that means there's a close proximity. Omukafas Atara, or it's like a semicircle arc, as it were, but that's also together, it's a close proximity. And Chorshim Lehem El Atzorkin. Now we say you can't, the whole field does not get relaxed in this halacha, but all we could do is we can plow around them based on what their needs are. As we already explained yesterday, it has the 2 amas radius around each one of those trees, only to take care of the trees and nothing else, the cholachas fachs for each one. That you could be working on, but you cannot work on the whole field. It would seem that for the each tree, you could work on each tree in that little area, the 2 amas radius, even until Rosh Hashanah, for the trees, because the main thing we're about trees, but the saplings, but you can't, but the rest of the field is not going to be permitted to work on that because the close proximity that's over there. Now, there's something else that is also thrown into the mix of saplings, and those are gourds. It appears that gourds also are a very sensitive type of growing item, and therefore the Rambam adds, v'hadiluim, and gourds are treated like saplings, im hanetios. They can be combined together with these saplings, mitstarfas lasor, to add up to 10. So, and the commentaries say, the way the Rambam words it, v'adluim im hanetios, would imply that still of the 10, the saplings would have to at least be a majority. So let's say you have 6 saplings and 4 gourds, and they're spread out, then that would be sufficient to make that the whole field is free completely from any of the prohibitions of before the Shemitah year.
So Rabbi, is anything else happening in that field, or is it just, is that the only thing that's in the field? Like, is there other things?
Well, what else would you, here? I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a problem?
Well, usually you wouldn't plant other things in the field because you're not trying to take away from the saplings. You're putting saplings need land to, earth to nurture from. A farmer, you don't plant wheat in an apple orchard, right? So it's obviously you wouldn't be planting other things there. Now the question is going to be a good question. The answer is. So he says, Ezuhi Netia, what is considered a sapling? In other words, how long is it considered a sapling? The answer is, Zeha Ilan HaKotan, this is a small tree, Kosman Shikorin Lanatia, as long as people call it a sapling. So I guess it depends on how people recognize it. In other words, they're not going to say, well, up to 6 months, it's a sapling, and afterwards, it depends on a lot of factors. Depends how well it grows. Not every sapling grows so quickly, so strong. So I guess it's the farmer will make the call on that, and I guess, if it looks weak, it looks young, they're going to tend to it more. You know, sometimes, like you see, even the unignorant me can tell that when they planted in Thornhill years ago, when they planted these saplings, if you remember, in the 80s, where they put little poles, metal poles, and tied it next to the pole. Obviously, that would have a halach of a sapling, because obviously the pole was necessary to keep it going. And then after a certain period of time, they got rid of the poles when they got behind them. So I guess the farmers know what. So as long as people call it a sapling, it has a halach of a sapling. If it's not called a sapling, it doesn't have a halach of a sapling. Okay. Ches. How about Elon? Let's say a regular tree. It's no longer a sapling anymore, but now you chopped it down and you left a little bit from the bottom of the stump. So now, how much is it chopped down that now the new growing tree would be considered a sapling or not? Elon sheniktzatz v'hotzi chalifim. If the tree's been cut down and now a new tree is coming back out from that place. So im niktzatz mitaf l'mala, if it's cut down, but there still was a tefach of the tree protruding from the ground or higher than that, harei zekil, and that's still considered a tree, again, because the farmers call it a tree. Mitevach l'mata, but from a tefach and below, harei ukanatia, that's considered a sapling because they call it a sapling. And again, when you're talking about Shemitah, it's what the farmers call it is what it is. Okay, now the Rambam gives a little bit, next line and a half is a little bit of a review, conclusion of this concept he's talked about. Everything we're talking about in terms of prohibited time before Shemitah, that's when we had a Beis HaMikdash, as we explained. But nowadays, Mutar Bavodas Haaretz Ad Rosh Hashanah. All things can be worked on until Rosh Hashanah. There's no Tosefa Shvi'is on anything at any time on any level. So that you don't have to worry about. Now, again, in the middle of Halacha, the Rambam makes a little bit of a turn, and he says that this whole mitzvah, af bisman hamikdash, even during the times of the Beis Hamikdash, when there was the prohibition of Tosefes Shviyis, we're going to see that Tosefes Shmita only applied to the few biblical prohibitive activities that were prohibited during the Shmita, which you said was only the four basic activities. But anything that was already derabbanan to begin with, so there was never the what do you call it? The halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, no aspect of Tosefes Shviyis applied to any of those things that were biblically permitted to do, which only makes sense. If it was biblically permitted to do, what would the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim be going on? It could only go on what was prohibited. Can't be what the rabbis prohibited. So therefore, that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim could only go on what was biblically prohibited. And therefore, all the other things that are rabbinically prohibited and some other aspects that he will get to, now he's going to go through a list of activities of improving the land or whatever's going on that could be done on the Erev Shviyis up until Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, af beisabe bezman amigdash mutter lesakel, you're allowed to remove stones, which would, now remember, all these things are prohibited in the Shemitah year, but this is permitted in the Erev Shemitah. Ulazabel, and to fertilize hasoros, to fertilize the fields. Velador, and dig troughs for hamikshos, for squash. And vamid dolos, and for gourds. Ubeis hashlochim, and for fields that need a lot of irrigation. Ad Rosh Hashanah, until Rosh Hashanah, there's no prohibition before that. And similarly, umezablim, umeforkim, umeafkim, umeashnim, umekarsimim. He's going through a big list now again. You can fertilize. I don't know why he... No, that's he already has. Well, I guess it's different fields. Before it was Lazabel. He said Lazabel. He's saying it's really twice. I don't know why. But anyway, you could fertilize umafarkim and take the branches off a tree, umaapkim, umaashdim, umakarsmim, and you can cut off the grain by hand and leave straw to the ground so it'll decompose. Umezordim, and you cut off certain branches that are sticking out too far. Umefaslim, and you can cut the dried off branches. Umezamim esanetios, and you can put pesticides on the saplings. Vechorfim vekosim, so you can wrap them up and cut off the tops of them. Vosim abatim, and put little teepees, little homes over them to protect them. Umashkinosim, you can water them. Vesochin esapagim, and you can smear oils over unripe figs to help them ripen quickly. Umenakvinos, so you can put holes in those unripe figs to make them ripen quickly. Kol avodos elu mutaris v'rashviz, all these activities were permitted on the eve of Shemitah, ad Rosh Hashanah Shviz, until the Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, v'afilu v'zman Megdash, even the times of the Megdash, because these were all rabbinically prohibited activities. Now, Yud, Pagei Erev Shviz, Shenichnus l'Shviz. Now we come to an interesting halacha. Let's say unripe figs. On Erev, before Shemitah, they were unripe. Now, Shenichnesu l'Shviz, and now they're growing more as they're growing into the Shemitah year. And the commentaries say, even though it's grown to the point on the Erev Shemitah year, that already has, it's considered a tree that's grown in terms of Meiser and other halachas, so be considered from other halachic aspects a sixth year growth tree, but it's not finished up until the seventh year. Okay. Vishel Shviz, she has so much Shviz, or was growing in the seventh year, and it really didn't develop properly until the eighth year, where it would be fitting into the halachas of Truma and Meiser and all these other things. So there really isn't any halachic standing of it in the Shemitah year. There was no significant growth in the Shemitah year to give it any halachic standing. Still, lo sochem v'lo menachem, you can't put the anointments on them, and you can't put the holes in them to make them grow any faster during the Shemitah, before or after that time. And why that's so is because of Maris Ayin. People will mistakenly think if you smeared it before, they may see the smearing still on it during the Shemitah year and think you smeared it in the Shemitah year. If you did it after the Shemitah year, they'll think you did it before in the Shemitah year. So therefore, because something you want to do to hurry them up. So therefore, it's like a rabbinic decree, so people will not assume the worst from you. Similarly, ubizmana migdash, and when we have the times of Beis Hamikdash, ein bonim madregas al pi hageyas. You don't build steps through in the troughs of water on erev Shvi'is, on the eve of Shvi'is, mishiyas v'achshavim, when the rain stops, because that already, they should masak mishiyas, because that is preparing it for Shemitah, and that activity, I guess, is more significant that they would prohibit it. Okay, we'll stop over here. Rabbi Hanani ben Akash. Halacha Yud Aleph. It's an interesting halacha. He says, now this is going to be, the trees usually take time to root. So there could be, over time, people could make a mistake into thinking when the tree rooted, when it actually didn't root at this time, or was planted at the time, and there could be certain issues of Maris Ayin that could apply even nowadays. Yud Aleph. Af Bisman Azay, even nowadays, where all the Tosefes Shvi'is has been relaxed, and you can really do anything you want, just about, on Erev Shemitah, still you can't do the following. Einotin ilanos, you don't plant trees. Vein markivim, you don't graft trees. Vein mavrichin, and you don't bend trees back into the ground so it'll grow out again. Erev Shvi'is, on an Erev Shemitah year. Ella, unless you've done the following. It has to be a certain amount of time before Rosh Hashanah. How much time? That the planting has to take hold, and vetisha, and it remains in that take and hold position subsequent to that, akra klita shloshim yom kodem Rosh Hashanah, and it's going to be 30 days post taken in before Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year. And how long does it take generally when you plant a tree in the ground for it to take hold? Ustam klita shtei shabbatot. And the stam amount to take hold is 2 weeks. So what does it come out? So it comes out how many days do you need before Rosh Hashanah? You have to plant the tree how many days before Rosh Hashanah? 44 days before Rosh Hashanah. That's the critical number. Now, if you plant it within the 40 days, asher la'olam, it's prohibited forever. Mipnei maris ayin, because of maris ayin. What would the maris ayin be? Shema yomer haro, a person who sees, not now, but later, they'll think bashvis notu. They'll think it was planted in Shemitah. Now obviously, no tree is gonna grow in that first year. This guy's eating fruits. Who's gonna think the guy had anything to eat? So that's not the problem. The problem is 3 or 4 years from now. Because what's going to happen is, since it took root, if it doesn't take root before Rosh Hashanah, before these 44 days, the calculation of the years regarding Orla and Neta Rivoy are affected by this. I don't want to get into this, but basically, you can't eat anything for the first 3 years, and then even the fourth, you're going to eat in Rishalayim. If you plant it that close to the Shemitah year, although technically it was in a different year, but a person's going to see that and think that, you know, it was really coming out. If you're eating it now, what do you mean this was in a Shemitah year? You must have planted in a Shemitah year. So unless you're putting it well in advance before...
That's the Marsai.
Not then, but 4 years from now, where people are going to think you, because you're eating it so close to when the Shemitah was planting. So if you do it before, then you got enough time in ahead that people won't make that mistake. But if it's that close, 2 days before the Shemitah. So technically, you're right. You could eat it 4 years afterwards, and person's not gonna know it's just a 2 day. They're gonna think you planted it in Shemitah. But if it's on 44 days before, that's significant growth before, that people would not make that kind of mistake. So that's the issue. So it's really all a Maris Ayin issue for that. So that Nimtzat Zaymer comes out. If Shanoteh, if a person plants, or Mavrich, or grafts, or Markif, or sticks back into the ground, Er Shvi'is, Kodem Rosh Hashanah, Barboi, Barboim Yoim, that if he plants it before 44, does all this before 40 days before Rosh Hashanah, you can maintain the tree, because there's not going to be no Maris Ayin 3 or 4 years from now. But Pachas Mikain, but if he plants it less than 44 days, we're going to punish the guy, Yak, or he's got to uproot the tree. Because what's going to happen later on, people are going to think people planted on Shemitah, and therefore it must be uprooted. Vimlo Akar, what if he didn't uproot it? And now there are fruits coming 4 years later, haperis mutorim. The fruits are permitted because it's not going to make any difference. It's too late already. However, now here's an interesting halacha. Remember we said before if a father did some things wrong with Shemitah and then the son inherits, there were certain punitive measures we took to the father, but not to the sons, because they didn't do anything wrong, we weren't going to punish them. But here's going to be an exception. The meis kodem shiakor, let's say the man planted it, and then he dies before he's supposed to uproot it. Now the question is, the kid have to uproot it? So if you're looking in terms of punitive measures, you wouldn't tell the kid to uproot it, didn't do anything wrong. But in terms of maris ayin, no one's going to know the difference in that area. Therefore, then the inheritor must still uproot it, because even if he doesn't, they're going to think that the inheritor planted it. And it's going to be the same marasayim. When we're talking about just punishing a person that he shouldn't benefit from it, that's a different story. But here it's an issue of marasayim, then even the son has to cover up to make sure there is no marasayim.
How about if somebody buys a land 2 years on, and the trees were planted, and he had nothing to do with the trees?
It's a good question. He may have to uproot it also. If he knows about it, question, what do you know? If you know the guy, first of all, he's supposed to uproot it. The person will make him uproot it. Right? The guy doesn't uproot it.
Should you be know. On the title to the land, uproot your trees.
You know, maybe. Okay, now we move on to the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter is going to talk about a new topic in this area, and that is svichim. That's a new word you have to know. A safiach, samach fe yurches, is a shoot, which means something basically grows by itself. Not exclusively, but that's a general idea. In other words, you're not allowed to plant during a Shemitah year. We're going to see what about weeds? Do you plant weeds? No, right? I guess some weeds could be edible to some extent, right? Right, whatever could be edible. So now weeds that grow during a Shemitah year. Now we're not weeds, but you'll see. But things just happen to grow by themselves. So look, are they prohibited or not? So the general rule of thumbs, and we're talking about, we're basically focusing on vegetables and grains and not trees. And you'll see why in a minute. Because the whole problem will not exist. But basically, things that are, that were grew by themselves or even planted in a prohibited way in areas where people usually plant, we're going to see what the halacha is, all right? But we're going to see there's a biblical law and then the rabbinical concern over here. So the Rambam says, Kol shetotzi aretz b'shona shvi'is, anything that produces during the seventh year, bein min hazeresh shenafal, doesn't matter if some seedling just fell by itself, you know, wind blew some seeds under the ground, it just caught hold by itself and grew. But bein min hazeresh shenafal ba mikodem hashvi'is, it doesn't matter if, let's say, a seed fell in before Shemitah year, and now it's growing on Shemitah year, okay. Or let's say you had threshed this stuff before Shemitah, but there still was a little bit left, and now it's regrowing by itself. Ushneim nikriu safiach. Those are called safiachs, shoots that are growing by themselves. Bein min asavim vayirakash olam. Doesn't matter if these greens or these vegetables grew by themselves during the Shemitah year. Ve'ein lam zera, and they're of an inferior quality. They really aren't planted per se. There would be a superior kind of weed, but it's not something that really was planted. So now the question is, you know, it's growing and it's edible. So, and it grew during the Shemitah year. So now, can you eat it?
Sure.
So hakol mutar la'achlo min ha-Torah. Biblically, you may eat it. Shenemar, because the Torah says, v'hoisa shabbas ha'aretz lachem la'achlo. The way we translate it is, that which grew when the land was rested, right? When the land is resting and it grew on its own, lachem la'achlo, it's for you to eat. As the Torah says, you could eat it. Let's say someone did an avera and he enhanced the field during Shemitah. Let's say he plowed it, but he didn't plant anything in Shemitah. But he just did some, which was usher to do. He plowed, you're not allowed to plow, things like that. But he didn't really plant anything. But because that he improved the land and vitzimcha, and then the crop, the stuff that was there grew better, let's say, because of what he did. Now, it's an avera, but nobody did any real planting. Still, perosem mutarim b'achila. The vegetables, doesn't mean fruits, because we're not talking about fruit trees here, means the vegetables are allowed to be eaten. So basic, that's biblically. So basically what we're saying is, if it grows by itself, totally by itself. It was, the seed came in before and it just grew by itself. Or let's say the person did a prohibited activity of fixing the land, but not really doing anything, but happens to be the seed grew. So all these things you're allowed to eat on a biblical level. Ron, you had a question?
Yeah, I just sort of wanted to know that would the poor not have priority over your
We're not even getting into who could take right now. We're ahead of the game here. You're ahead of the game here. We just want to know, is it permitted at all for anybody? Doesn't, not about owner, not be anybody. Can anybody have this? Doesn't matter, owner, strangers, whatever. We'll have to see. We're not yet at that stage of, you know, how you're allowed to take and what you're allowed to take. We're ahead of the game there. We just want to know, is this stuff prohibited stuff at all? What if a guy plants real stuff on Shemitah? That's mamish awesome, right? But we're talking about the kind of grew on its own. So it really is permitted to everybody. Yeah?
Have we talked about like an apple that grows on during the year? Have we discussed a fruit?
We haven't discussed trees yet at all. We're just now talking about vegetables now. We'll see there's a difference coming up, very clear difference coming up over here.
So I just want to confirm, are we saying that if the farmer hadn't prepared the land, and that fruit would not have, a vegetable would not have grown by itself?
It maybe it could have, maybe could have not, but he did no act of planting. That's the main thing. There was no act
in the growth.
But he had nothing to do with the planting. That's what, it had nothing to do with planting. So then, you're lucky, because you didn't do anything in terms, you did not avera, but you didn't plant anything. So anyway, it's allowed. Vizesh, you're going to ask a question that seems to imply from a pasuk that maybe you couldn't eat it. Vizesh, that's what it says, Ace Safiach, and the Safiach, that the shoots that grow after you. Kitzir Chalosikzor, you shouldn't harvest them, so it would appear that you couldn't harvest these shoots. The answer is no. Shalo Yikzor, you can't harvest them. Kiderach Shekotzor, like people harvest the whole year. In other words, let's say you have a whole ton of these grow. Well, what would you normally harvest? You'd harvest the whole thing. Yeah, you can't harvest the whole thing that grows as Svichim, because that already is, that's like doing like regular activities. Vimkotzor, Kiderach Shekotzor, and if you would harvest these Svichim the way normal, like a big pile, Loki, you get lashed. That you're not allowed to do. Keep going, let's say, how would that be? Shekotzor Kolasari, you harvested the whole field. Vehemid kri, and have a big pile. Vidosh babokar. Now you take out your cow and your cattle and you thresh it. Now you're really doing like regular 6 year of the cycle activities that you're not allowed to do under any circumstances. Osher kotzer lavodas oretz, or you harvested so that the earth would grow better afterwards. Sometimes you just harvest the whole thing, even though you don't care about the crop itself, but you want the land to be improved. Those things the Torah said you can't do. But certainly, Ella Kotzer Ma'at Ma'at, but to harvest a little bit by a little bit, and Vachovek, and to thresh it by just beating it with a stick, a few of them at a time, oh, that's allowed. And that's a general thing. In other words, even when there will be allowances for people to take fruit and things like that, you can't take like a harvest scenario, you're going to take a little bit. So therefore, when the Torah says you can't harvest Svichim, it means you don't harvest it in a mass production way. But little bits are certainly allowed. So on the biblical level, these Svichim that grow by themselves are permitted to be eaten. But that's on the biblical level. Beis, Umidivri Sofrim, comes the rabbis along and say no. They say, Sheyihu kol ha-svichim asurim b'achila. All svichim are prohibited to eat. Now again, we're only talking about vegetables and grains. We're not talking about fruits from trees, and you'll see why in a minute. V'loma gazon, why did they make the decree? Very easy. When they overbear, because of sinners. Now, what would a sinner do? Because what could a, now, if you know that svichim are allowed, and you're an unscrupulous person, what would you do?
Plant.
When? On Shemitah year.
Yeah.
And then
no one would know. You'd say,
but when you get the crop, what would you say?
Oh, look what happened.
What a miracle.
Unbelievable.
Just like the triple crop. Look at this. Must be a bunch of seeds, but just got blown onto my field. It's unbelievable. So that's why Shol Yelech, we don't want a guy to go. V'yizra tfua, that he plant wheat, v'kitnios and legumes, v'zerona gina and other types of garden plants, v'sochaseo in his field, v'saser in secret. And then, u'kishyizra, and when they grow, yoga will eat them ahem, v'yomer soon their shoots. It was an amazing, lucky time for me. Leviga rasru kol ha-svichim v'tzochim ha-svichim, therefore we say you can't eat any svichim because of the rabbinical concern that people would get involved with that. Okay, Gimel, Holomanata. So what do we see from this? The fact that the rabbis made this decree, what are you really able, allowed to eat during a Shemitah year? Because obviously you can't plant, right? You can't plant things, right? So
fruit of the tree.
So what are you allowed to eat? Shein ochlim mi peiros shvi'is, from the produce that comes out of Shemitah, all you can have is ela peiros ha'ilon, fruits from the trees. The fruits for decrees, because there's no reason to make the decree. Because there's no way you can plant the tree in a Shemitah year and have fruits growing in that year to eat from there. Therefore, there's no issue. So any fruits that grow by themselves, we know they grew by themselves and there was no nefarious conduct. And also, let's say, Vasovim Shein Zorim Osam Rova Olam, or certain types of plants that nobody ever plants them. Nobody plants them, like weeds. Do you plant dandelions? You don't plant dandelions, right? So he plants those. Keep going, for example, he lists a couple of these. Hapigum, it's a type of incense. Vahayarbuzim hashotim, it's a type of weed that's wild. Vahol kayesim, anything like them. In other words, people never planted. What are we concerned? He's going to start planting those? Aval hayirakas, but good old-fashioned vegetables. Shederek rova adam lezerim baginos uminitzvus akidnis. The people plant these, or different types of legumes or grains. Kolat tzamech, when anything grows to them, also mivreim is rabbinically prohibited. Vamalaktam, and anybody who will harvest them, pick a few of them even a few. Makin oisay makas mardus. We'll get rabbinic lashes for going against that. Let's just do one more halacha, and that will close this topic. Now, so now the Gemara is going to list four other types of svichim that are permitted because this problem of people being liars does not exist as well.
Could I just ask one question? What happens if you have a vegetable that grows every year? You don't touch it.
Well, that's
it
different. That's more like a tree.
Year.
That's more like a tree.
It grows from the ground.
We're talking about things you have to plant.
Well, berries are like that.
We're not talking about things that grow.
Berries
what vegetables
tree.
Grow by themselves?
Rhubarb.
Okay. I'm saying, we're talking about things that are planted every year. There'll be no decree on things that aren't planted.
And sometimes strawberries grow every year, too.
I guess that you wouldn't make a decree on that.
Because you wouldn't have
know.
To do anything. They just come
I don't know.
Own.
We would have to wild, decide, but you could
berries.
Also plant them also.
They're called wild berries.
You can also plant them in that year, too, so maybe the decree would apply. It would have to be something that exclusively...
Let's
say a tree. An orange tree, you cannot plant it that year and get anything growing. Right. But the other thing is a guy could make his new rhubarb, could plant a new rhubarb that year. So the decree,
well,
I don't know
how good it would be.
Well,
that
you leave it to the botanist. If it would be something that could be planted that year and a guy could get away with it, then rabbis would prohibit it. So you let me know what works and what doesn't. That would be the halacha. Okay, now we're going to give four more exceptions to the rule. Svichim that are ha'olim bistei bor, that grow in a construction site, who bistei near, or a field that you intended to plow, who bistei kerem, or a field that you planned to make into a vineyard, who bistei zera, or a place where you're planning on planting superior quality types of plants. All those, if you're going to find some svichim there, mutar b'achila, you're allowed to eat, because none of those concerns of a person would maybe want to cheat out and plant there would not apply. Why do we make the decree? Now it goes through each one. Because people will never plant those type of svichim, because remember, svichim are poor quality, lesser quality, or you'll see, just wouldn't plant in these situations. And it goes through all four. Stave for a construction site in a yif, no one's going to plant things in a construction site, because it's not good for the construction site, and it's going to get destroyed. No one's going to plant there. And so if anything grew, it had to have grown by itself. Stay near a field that you're planning on plowing. So Rotsa B'dikum, he wants it enhanced, and it's enhanced by being plowed, and he doesn't want anything growing in that before that. Ustay Kerman, a field, a vineyard, he plans on making a vineyard. He doesn't want vegetables growing in a vineyard, because that would usher the whole vineyard, because you have a forbidden mixture of kilayim. So he wouldn't want that. And the Eino Oser Karmi doesn't make his vineyard prohibited. Ustay Zera, and a place where he's going to be seeding very superior quality things, Hasfichim Asino, so the Sfichim make it worse, like weeds. Weeds are usually, you pluck them out, an inferior wild thing growing, something growing, that you could say, well, maybe he planted it. Why would he plant that? It will negatively affect what's there already. And similarly, even when you take out these things, when you take it out, there's still the straw at the bottom, the stubble at the bottom. And in all these cases, even when we did prohibit, even if let's say we cut off the top, but the stubble, straw that's on the bottom, even in the prohibited situation, mutter b'chol makom, you could always eat that v'logrosu. And we didn't make the decree. Even let's say the thing that grew, they made a decree. You can't eat that. Fine. But what about the let's say, okay, so we've got to throw it out. But what about the bottom part, the straw at the bottom? Well, therefore, we would not prohibit that, because nobody, you're going to say, well, you know what, he really planted all these things, so we could have all that straw. It's not economical to do all that work just to get the straw. That's at the bottom. So therefore, we never prohibit the straw, because nobody, since we've already prohibited it, no one's going to plant it. He's not going to say, well, he probably planted it, so we'll make him throw everything out and just get the straw. It's not worth it for him to do it. And therefore, we'd assume it came by itself. And even though you can't eat the top part if it comes by itself because of the rabbinic decree, but the bottom part of the straw could be eaten.
What if he plants a mature fruit tree?